I'm Vin.
I'm Sori.
This is Metallica Trapped Under Ice for timely topical political commentary. You can hit us up at Middle America with Vin and Sori. I think if we listen to this, we will have done the entire record of Trapped Under Ice to start to finish. This had Fight Fire no, with Fire.
Mean, Trapped Under Ice.
I mean, Ride the Lightning.
Yeah.
This had Fire with Fire on it. We did Ride the Lightning a couple last week. So this one is going to be, it's called Trapped Under Ice. And is that the lyric video? We're going to need the lyric video because my computer's
taking it's the lyric video.
A million miles an hour to get set up. So this should be very, very interesting. Trapped Under Ice, Metallica for timely topical political commentary. Can hit us up at Middle America with Vin and Sori. I'll probably go on that. A recording binge after this.
No doubt.
Shout out to the big homie Kim Jong-un. Rest in peace.
So he really did die?
If he really died, I don't know. He's in a vegetative state. I would assume that if he was alive that they would have come out and said that their leader is alive, but whatever. All right. Trapped Under Ice, Metallica. Let's go.
We'll be right back.
That would be so scary if that actually happened.
That was such a good song. Man. I don't know if I like this record better than Master of Puppets, but there's no weak songs. No weak songs on this record so far.
I'm going to bring up the lyrics here.
The lyrics up there. I am dying to live.
Can you imagine if that would really happen?
I think this is literally what they're talking about. The guy got trapped under ice.
No, that's not what I thought.
He got trapped under ice.
What does this mean?
The name of the song.
Cryonic state?
Yeah.
Isn't that, what is that?
You know when you're frozen?
Yeah, but I thought it was, you know, like, supposedly the Walt Disney guy went and got, right here. The storage of human corpse. So I don't think that he got frozen. I think it's, you know, they have people that they say they're going to try to bring them back.
Yeah, you think they were talking about that in the early 80s?
I don't know.
I doubt very highly. It seems to me it's like literally talking about being trapped under ice.
When did Walt... No, I think that they were talking about it then, because I remember as a kid them talking about Walt Disney and how he was in that situation.
Okay. Well, that's... We'll agree to disagree.
Okay.
So the guy, he got kidnapped, he got put into a lab?
No. He didn't get kidnapped. See, these people, certain people decide that. You know, you have money and then you have money and you say, freeze me before I die. So that way later on when you guys have the technology to bring me back and to make me live, then you'll have me.
And then he...
But he is frozen inside of this hell.
Because he's conscious?
He's conscious because they're not fully dead when they do that to them. They have to be, like, close, but they can't be, like, dead. Because then you'd have to raise somebody from the dead. The idea is to be able to bring them, you know, they were close to death, and we now have the technology where we could have been able to save that person. So now, unfreeze the guy and bring him back.
All right, I'll go with it. That's pretty terrible. Creeping death on this?
Well, what's terrible about... Well, I don't believe that... You're not dead when you go into that situation. I think
what
that
do you mean
if you are
don't
close,
believe you're not dead.
Like some people think that you're kind of like you're frozen, so you're still like alive. You know what I mean? What didn't he say something about kind of like woken up? I'm still locked in the shell, frozen soul, frozen down to the core. Break the ice, I can't.
So he got put in one of those chambers and then he woke up.
Yeah. Okay. Eyes of glass stare directly at death. From deep sleep, I have broken away. No one knows. No one hears what I say.
Yeah.
Because he woke up, but he's in one of those little things, but nobody can hear him, and nobody even realizes it because he's frozen.
Sucks to be you, bro.
And so, can you imagine like living every day, all day long, in that situation, and never being able to
move,
break free from that? I don't know. That to me is one of the most horrible. Honestly,
it's pretty terrible.
Honest to goodness, I know that this is gonna sound completely crazy, but my thoughts of what hell. Has been like all my life, if they said, get trapped in that state or go to hell, I would pick go to hell.
Right. Because at least you can move around.
Yeah.
You can take a couple backstrokes in the lake of fire.
And I always felt like, this is really terrible, this is completely wrong, but I always thought that in hell, you would be able to do as many bad things as you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I still think that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that,
Yeah,
you know,
I say that all the time.
I say sin is its own punishment.
Yeah.
So
I always thought, finally, I'll be able to do all the bad things I want to do if I end up there. I don't want to end up in hell, but if I do, at least I can stun myself when I was little.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty. Well, I mean, I don't know what I saw. I think it was like Hellraiser or something like that. And I just thought to myself. I don't believe that God spends thousands of years coming up with exquisite tortures to screw with people forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's never been a situation in literature or human experience where a person is ever perceived as being a good guy who spends his time deliberating on what type of torture she's going to do to a person.
Yeah.
That guy's never considered the good guy. So, yeah, I mean this is off topic, but at the same time, it's a hellish existence for this guy for sure. And I don't really know, that type of claustrophobia is really interesting, because you figure we would be the most comfortable in a claustrophobic situation, because what? That's how we came into the world.
Oh, I know.
That's how we came into the world.
You know? I know,
when you're a baby, you're all... And even, when they're born, they like being wrapped up all tight so that they can't move.
Yes.
Yeah. That's sometimes with newborns, that's the only way to get them to sleep, is you're trying to replicate that confined space. So I don't know why all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but claustrophobia seems to be everybody's biggest fear.
Yeah, but I think that, I don't think so. I think it's public speaking is what they say is the biggest fear, but I think
But if I told a person, okay, I'm going to bury you alive for an hour, or you're going to speak publicly for an hour, I'm pretty sure 99.99%. You know, people say that all the time, the people are more scared of death than public speaking. I hate public speaking, but I would much rather speak publicly for 20 minutes than be buried alive. Good night.
Oh my gosh, me too. But it's not even... Anyway, what did you say right before that? Oh, I think the reason is because we're comfortable in what we've known, but once we know something that's more comfortable, then that becomes our new norm. So if all the baby knows is the tightness of the womb, then they don't know anything different. But then when they get out, then it's they miss that. But then once they get acclimated to this world, then they're Orion, he's almost a year old. And if you hug him and kiss him too long, he'll be he doesn't like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he'll assault.
So I think though that, for instance, if all of a sudden we could fly all over the place, then I think that we would be bothered by the idea of not being able to fly. If you could fly all over the place, literally
you would be
yourself,
bothered, but you would be terrified to walk on the ground. People are terrified of being buried alive. They go crazy, claustrophobia and all that.
That's next level, though.
Pretty interesting situation for sure. But this is kind of what's going on in One, where the guy is, landmine has taken my sight, and the guy is being fed to the machine, fed to the tube that sticks in me or whatever. Mm-hmm. The guy is he's conscious, but he's a vegetable. He can't move. He's trapped inside of his body. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of maybe Hetfield has some claustrophobic fears that he's put to music. Mm-hmm. Where you see it in One, you see it, and you definitely see it in this. Yeah, man, that's a pretty crazy concept, claustrophobia.
The thing is,
waking up from one of those situations.
Oh gosh,
that's what you get for trying to live forever.
See, I would never do that. Honest to goodness, I would never do that.
Right.
I remember growing up, being cremated was considered really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah, the Christian Church used to look at it as a practice done by pagans that denies the resurrection.
Yeah. And I remember going against the party line and saying, I don't care what anybody says. I really don't believe that God's going to keep me out of heaven if I get cremated. And I want to be cremated. Do not put me in a box and bury me under the ground. Because I heard too many of those stories was back in the day before they, started draining people and filling them with other things and stuff like that. But people would wake up and they'd be, oh, no, I can't do that. Yeah. They go and, go into a coma, and people didn't really know a whole lot. And that to me is oh my gosh, no. But I'm actually a recovering claustrophobic person. When I went to Bible college, they had an elevator in my dorm, and I forced myself to ride that elevator up and down, because the minute those doors are closing, I have started feeling really panicky. And so now I can ride an elevator with pretty much ease. I don't worry too much about it, but I used to really kind of feel panicky. But if I think about it too much, even at this moment, if I stopped and thought about it too much, I can get claustrophobic that I'm stuck on this planet, and I can get claustrophobic that I'm stuck in my own body. Huh. And being stuck in your own body, being that kind of claustrophobic feeling, is a terrible feeling, because I start feeling oh my gosh, there's literally no way to get out of this. When I was pregnant with Orion, and my stomach was getting bigger, and I felt like my body was getting taken over by this baby, because it was, you can't breathe good, you can't bend good, you can't do anything good, I kept thinking, there's an end in sight. It's only going to go 9 months, and then I'm going to have that little peanut, and I will have my breathing and my body back.
Yeah.
But when you start thinking, I know it sounds crazy, but when you start thinking, oh my gosh, I'm trapped inside this body, like, I can't get out of it. Like, it's, oh my, it's just...
That's a very interesting concept. People talk about being trapped inside of their body because they're speaking about the self separate from the body.
Yep.
Which is... It's really, really interesting the way we talk about things. Like, you know, somebody dies, we say, okay, what are we going to do with the body? We don't, we automatically shift from the personal to the just raw ontology, the body.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody calls it the body when the person is alive. This is very, very, very interesting. Of course, it's a very strange thing from a completely naturalistic view of the world. Because it is it's a concession in my mind that a person is more than their body.
You know, like when someone's sitting there and you can tell like they're off somewhere else.
Yeah.
People don't say, you know, oh, like if I saw that happen to you, I'd be like, Vin's body's over there.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Even though there's clearly some kind of a separation because you've gone somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. But then it's the sort of like, I remember when I first heard about that, my mom was telling me, it was my stepdad and my mom were talking about Michael Jackson, and I guess he said that he was going to do that because he's Peter Pan and he wants to live forever. And I was like, I just thought that was so crazy. Because obviously as a kid, I was like, well, you die, you go to heaven, you're good. Why would you want to stay in, you know, why would you want to stay in the earth or whatever? But, it's kind of a massive irony because the fear of death is probably the most universal fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're able to overcome your fear of death by doing this cryogenic whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that you end up in a worse horror than whatever you thought death was going to be because now you've woken up and you're trapped and there's nothing you can do. That's a pretty horrible existence, you know? Like... And I always look at death kind of like if you could have an entire society inside of a womb, and people could live inside of a womb and communicate with each other, and then you'd hear all these rumors about birth, and then people in the womb would look at birth like we look at death. It's this transitional period, you're leaving everything you know, and nobody knows what happens once a person is born, we never see them again. Like if there's a womb, if there's like a society inside of a womb, like, oh man, and then the older and older you got, like, oh man, he's 9 months.
The struggle's real.
His life is almost over.
Yeah.
And then he's born, he never comes back, and people feel bad, and yada, yada,
especially
yada.
Especially if they could hear those moments as he's leaving.
Right.
Mom's loud.
Right.
Then the baby and...
All the screaming, all the yelling, and then there's bright lights and all that. Yeah. And then what's crazy is... Once you're born into this world, to go back into that other world is terrifying. That's what it means to be trapped under ice, right? And so, my point is, like, we're confined now in this world. We're confined now, and then when we're born into the next world, going back to this world would be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We've got a category called claustrophobia, which is basically replicating what it was like to be stuck in the womb. So in the next world, there'll be some earthlophobia or whatever, and that'll replicate what it's like to be confined in this area, because we're confined by, you know, the laws of physics or whatever it is, in ways that we will not be in the next world. So,
well, I think it's not even just that. I think it's that there, because this world is so tainted by sin,
right,
and pain,
right,
and all of that, that I don't know, maybe there's gonna be some kind of, like, you know, PTSD from being, you know what I'm saying, like, from being here, where we'll be like, I don't want to go back there, because, like, heaven is gonna be, you know, obviously so different than here.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, the first time I saw Dorian being born, that was kind of the last vestiges of the fear of death that I had. Because I was because I was thinking to myself, like, this is like death, you know, because the template's the same. You're living in a certain place, you've known it all your life. And then I thought to myself, like, if I was, like, in the womb with him and then he left and never came back. Yeah. I assume something bad happened to
him. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it was funny, too, because there was this meme, and this is going after atheists. And it was interesting because it was basically the same arguments that our atheist friends use about the afterlife. Like, nobody lives after they're dead.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Nobody comes back.
Can I say something? Because you're going to remember and I'm going to forget. So when we're born into this world, it's a body birth. And then we die, we leave the body, and then we have like a spirit.
Yeah.
Soul. And I know that we get reunited with our body.
Right.
But that is kind of like interesting when you think about like the birth element of it.
Yeah. So I was watching, it's a very interesting meme. It's basically these twins.
And then darkness into light.
Right. So it's basically these twins are in the womb. And one twin is saying, oh, it's all good, don't worry about it, we're going to be born, and then mom's going to take care of us, and da-da-da-da-da. And the person's like, well, have you ever seen this mother? And the kid goes, well, no. And the baby goes, okay, have you seen this father, this dad? Well, no. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is the proof? Where are they? And the kid's like, well, I mean, we're inside of her. Oh, we're inside of her. Oh, I guess we live and move and have our being inside of our mom.
Oh, my gosh.
And the non-birth baby is mocking the birth baby or whatever. And the guy and the kid, the baby basically says, look, man, when you're born, when you're out of here, that's it. Your life's over, and that's all we know. What you're talking about, you know, you're just going by buying faith or whatever. Mm-hmm. Nobody has gone out of the womb and come back. That's just ridiculous.
Right.
And the baby's like, well, you won't want to come back. And then the guy's like, oh, isn't that convenient? He's like, well, look, when somebody comes, and he's like, it's been, you know, X thousand years of human history. When somebody comes back into the womb, then I'll believe it. Other than that, you know, this little existence in here is all we have, so make the most of it.
That's really interesting.
It was a really fascinating discussion.
Yeah.
Of course, my atheist friend said, that's ridiculous. Babies don't have conversations like that in the womb. Completely missing the point on purpose. I thought it was a very, very thoughtful conversation.
And I don't necessarily, I know, you know, people are going to be like, wow, because I've said a lot of crazy things in this review, but I think that I don't necessarily think that babies don't have conversation. I think that just because they don't understand language in the way that we do doesn't mean that they're not communicating. And I think that...
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah.
I think that there's a lot of communication that goes on.
I believe that too. But it was just like the arrogance, not so much about atheism, but just the arrogance of modern human beings. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know something. Yeah. Because we don't know that it can't be real. And
yeah, but the thing is, like, if you go with that argument, if there was one that was born and then was brought back, you know, we have Jesus as our example.
Right.
He died and he came back.
Right.
You know, and he told us what was coming.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm with it. And then, well, what's your evidence that Jesus came back? Well, what would you accept as evidence, brother? There was no YouTube 2,000 years ago. And even if there was, if we had the technology for YouTube, we also had the technology for video manipulation.
YouTube is not as convincing to me as, you know, a whole group of people that are once terrified, hiding and saying they don't even know anything about this Jesus guy. All of a sudden, they completely change at a moment's notice, and now they're being led to their deaths beside their spouses and
singing.
Yeah, singing all the way there. That's not somebody who just, you know, hears something and kind of believes it. That's somebody who has experienced something, and they have a deep, deep conviction about what they know.
Old school Metallica songs is usually like 6 to 8 minutes. Mm. This one was like 4 minutes. It was just
surprising.
In and out like a Navy SEAL. And then the last song is called Excess.
Of course, it was terrifying, so 4 minutes is good for me.
Right. the last one's called Escape. So I'm wondering if the guy found a way to get out of the maybe this is a concept record and we didn't know it.
Look, wait, scroll up.
Maybe the guy dies. What do you call it?
No, because wasn't this the same
Ride
one
the
where...
The guy dies in
the electric
lightning.
Chair, though. So it can't be.
Maybe
scroll
he
up.
Died and then he got put in a cryogenic chamber.
No, nobody did that to him. Scroll down. I want to see the last verse of this one.
Okay, the last
Look,
verse
freezing.
Freezing
oh, this
what?
Is the... Oh, no.
Freezing
okay, this,
can't move at all.
Yes, but I thought you had
That's
clicked on the last
port.
Song of the record.
No, the last song of the record is the call of
yes,
the
Yes, I know, but I thought these were the lyrics for that. I'm like, it says something about freezing. What is this? I've been stricken by fate. Wrapped up tight, cannot move,
yeah,
can't break free.
I think fate is a big theme for Hetfield, too, because Master of Puppets was kind of like that thematically. I think fate is a concept that scares people. Like the
fate?
The idea that there are things that are determined for your life that you do not control.
I always thought fate was exciting.
I think that bothers people. You thought fate was exciting?
Because I didn't believe necessarily in fate. I remember like having conversations like with my mom and being like, "Do you believe in destiny? Do you believe in fate?" And I remember writing poetry about it, but it was not something that we believed in my religion and in my upbringing.
What did you believe? You just thought you controlled the world and God was up there observing?
Well, more or less, he was telling you should take this path, but if you decide to take that one, you're free to do so, but life will be hell for you. And so if something bad happens to you, you should have taken the other path.
Oh, so it's a good way to blame the victim.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you guys are experts at that.
I mean, but I always thought it was such a romantic idea. And I remember this
in regard
is funny,
to relationships or just life
just
as a whole?
Just life as a whole. Because there's a certain, if you believe in fate or destiny, then there's a certain amount of ease that can come when a terrible situation happens. For instance, if you believe the way that I believed, if something bad happens, oh my gosh, you could have prevented that. You could have prevented that death. You could have prevented that
well,
this or
fate.
That. I'm saying that was the way that I was taught.
Okay.
So the idea of fate or destiny was a romantic idea to me because it's out of your hands. So you're not guilty or being held responsible by any tragedy that surrounds you. It's been handed to you. So now the only thing that you have is how you're going to respond to that event.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
And I love that idea. But there was a space for that in the religion that was taught to me
what
by my
religion?
Parents. Well, Christianity, but it
religion?
Was their version of Christianity or the version that was given to them where, no, you don't have... You know, you have choice in everything, and bad things happen to you because you make bad choices. And I do think that in some circumstances is true, but at the same time, so there was a kind of like an ease. Like I thought, wow, if there was, you know, I can much more easily deal with, hey, this is the situation that was dealt with me. Now let me do the best that I can with what I've been given.
Yeah.
Rather than thinking, this is all your fault.
Right.
So, right. So I really liked that idea. And then I remember having a conversation with my mom. And I said, Mom, do you believe that there's only one person for everybody? Or do you believe that there's multiple people and you kind of can choose? Like, do you believe you can truly deeply fall in love with multiple people? Or, you know, and like kind of having that conversation, I thought I knew what she was going to say because I thought, but she kind of like, she was kind of off and on. Like, I couldn't really figure out. It seemed to me that she thought that there was something as like a definitive, true type of like this is a once in a lifetime sort of love, but then at the same time it was like, but you can have different loves, but I think that she kind of was more leaning toward you can find that one, or you may not ever bump into that person, but that somewhere in the world that other half of you existed.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yep.
What do you give the song?
Ooh, it was a high one. It was very heavy. They kept it moving. It was fast, but it didn't feel like a conveyor belt. So I'm going to say 9.2.
It's an 8.8 for me. 8.8 for me. Pretty good. Solo was decent. I mean, you know.
Terrifying.
Kurt was wilding out. It's just the song would have been pretty the same without the solo. Whereas Fade to Black, it wouldn't be One, it wouldn't be Disposable Heroes, it wouldn't be Master Puppets, it wouldn't be. There's only a couple songs that I'm like, the solo was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, the 80s, it was just, look at my skill work. Vin out.
Sorry out.
Gone. Mm-hmm.